You might have heard, unless you've managed to somehow tune out this entire exhausting campaign, that the issue Canadians care most about in this election is affordability. Everything is expensive. We don't have enough money to pay for basically any of it. Neither of those two things are showing much sign of changing. Unless, of course, you ask the politicians.
A re-elected Liberal government will lower taxes again for the middle class, saving the average family almost $600 every year.
By and large, every day we are telling Canadians a story about how we're going to run a government that lives within its means so we can put more money in their pocket so that they can get ahead.
These are real meaningful ways to make their lives more affordable. This is a real meaningful way to put money back into people's pockets and giving young people hope.
Guaranteed livable income for all is something we can and must do. We also make life way more affordable for young people.
Look, no politician ever won an election by promising to make your life more expensive, so I don't know what else we'd expect. The real question we need to ask is how. How do these parties say they will do it? And perhaps almost as importantly, how are they trying to sell their plans to you? Because whenever we talk about money, there are some interesting things happening in our heads. You might be shocked to learn that we respond to different promises differently depending on the price tag that we attach to them. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story, and there are 5 days left before Canada votes. Mike Eppel is the senior business editor with 680 News and with City News, and he has done a lot of math lately. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
That's a good way of putting it. Thank you.
So broadly speaking, when politicians talk about, quote, affordability, what are they referring to?
Trying to make it, in their estimation, easier for us to pay the monthly bills. Whether or not they actually have the control over that is a big debate because, you know, all of the parties, and I had to go through their platforms to see who was promising the most with our money. Let's face it, that's where it all comes from. Each one is sort of taking a different tactic, and in some cases, yes, it would reduce the cost of certain day-to-day items. The problem is, though, it's not just the feds. It's the province.
Right.
It's the municipal government. You know, when was the last time property taxes came down? Oh, that's right. They've never come down. So you've got all of these political levels that are all offering to or claiming they're going to make life more affordable, but at the end of the day, it's a soft at best. No one feels like they're not paying more to live, regardless of what they promise.
Well, that's kind of my next general question, is that affordability is the number one issue in the election, according to all the polls.
When they can get past all of the other little things.
Yeah, but our economy is doing well broadly.
Yes, that's
true. So why do so many people feel like this is an issue?
Because the economy itself is doing well, but people do not have the same type of jobs that they once did. The age of the defined pension plan has gone away. People have part-time jobs, and in some cases they need two or three to make what they did in a previous generation. You know, so there's more stress from that angle. Rental costs have gone up. Housing prices are up stratospherically over the past decade, and I think that's part of it too. I mean, the cost of housing in a decade's time, you know, the prices in Toronto, for example, have doubled, and if not even more so. It's just gone up exponentially at a pace that I don't necessarily think that the income levels or the amount that we spend, it hasn't adjusted. The money that we have day to day has not adjusted to the costs that have gone up. Car insurance prices. Remember the whole thing in the previous provincial election in Ontario was about getting, not this last one, but prior to that, it was, oh, we're going to lower insurance costs. Never happened. Right. They were stagnant, but for a little bit. But in the past year, most people's bills just on insurance, which we need to drive, it's a mandatory thing, has gone up 15%. And they're saying, well, this is because of climate change and all the expenses. So, I mean, the governments, regardless of their political stripe, say that they can control certain things. They can't control anything when it comes to those type of things. It's the same thing with this, the whole debate over carbon taxes. The PCs have been saying so much about, well, we're going to eliminate the carbon tax. Okay, fine. That'll take, you know, 4.5 cents off of a liter of gas. But again, that's more impactful when the price for gas is $1.40 a liter as opposed to just being over $1 a liter. What has brought the price for gas down? Market forces. Hasn't been anything to do with carbon taxes, the job-killing carbon tax. That hasn't shown up yet to be a major contributing factor to the cost of daily life. You know, if in fact it continues to go up over successive years, then it's going to have a much larger impact. Right now, though, not so much. So again, there's all these things that, you know, they try to kind of work around the edges, for lack of a better description.
Yeah.
You know, for example, the Liberals on the carbon tax say, well, we're giving it back to you, the consumer, through a tax break that no one, myself included, actually saw that line item in my tax form. Nobody looks at that. It's not a tangible thing. You're not getting a check, you know, where you're actually, oh, here's my $300 whatever.
Right.
To offset
it's lumped
the car.
In. It's yeah, lumped right? in with everything
else. Yeah, right. So they say, well, we're making it cheaper or more affordable because we're not going to charge you for it. But at the same time, you don't feel like it. That's a psychological thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think from an affordability standpoint, something the PCs have really harped on is, you know, re-establishing the Harper-era tax credits, which were popular, sports, arts, those type of things, an RESP boost, some of the tangible things that you can actually feel a little
bit. The around
bit.
The edges stuff that you're
but it,
talking
but it
about.
Is. It really is. It'll save, you know, at best guess, maybe uppermost level $1,000.
Right.
But you still have to spend money to get that back because you're signing your kids up for stuff, right? So it's not, it's again, it's they're trying to make it sound like they're doing something, but at the end of the day, are they? It's debatable.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Well, where are the differences then, especially about the big things? Like, let's start with housing. Where is there anything that any of the governments could do?
Well, they're talking about extending the mortgage amortization rate to 30 years.
Yeah.
So right there, that's going to lower your monthly payments, but you're going to carry debt until you die. I mean,
speaking of psychological things, I'm going to do that anyway.
This is the thing. The cost of housing has gone up. You have to take on all this extra debt, and that is also added to the pressures of overall affordability because we're servicing all this debt,
mm-hmm.
which is not unlike government, which is, you know, in Ontario, the fourth largest line item was servicing the debt.
Yeah.
So consumers and government aren't all that different, I suppose. And it just, I guess, how you frame it. In the Ontario election, oh, we have to cut spending because the debt's getting too big. This election, nobody seems to care about deficit financing.
No.
You know, the Tories are the only ones who are kind of saying, yeah, 5 years out, we'll have a balance.
Is about helping you finance your deficit.
Pretty much. You're right. You know, and each party is kind of, there hasn't been much discussion about that. There hasn't been as much overall discussion about the economy. I think there's been so many distracting issues. Maybe in the last week it'll come up a little bit more where people really kind of start to think, okay, which of these parties is offering me the most goodies, I suppose, for lack of a better description. You know, the NDP, PharmaCare for All, Dental Care for All. Okay, those are huge social programs.
Yep.
Once you start that, you're not going back. You're not scaling that back. It's almost pretty, that would be next to impossible. And you're spending billions to do it. And the thing about that, too, is, okay, that's fine, but when we had sort of a partial PharmaCare program under the Wynne government, did my monthly insurance premiums at work come down? I don't seem to remember that they did.
Right.
Right? They're not necessarily, they're kind of saving, but they're not. Right? It's still costing.
Social programs are there for other people who don't have work plans.
Well, but they're talking, you know, about child care. You know, some of the parties are talking about that.
Speaking about affordability.
Well, that's huge too, right? How do you get that? You know, that for so many families, that is a massive monthly expense. to work through over those early years until the kids are in the school system. So if you can solve that, then again, that's possibly a winning strategy. But again, where do you get the money for it? Are you just kind of taking it and saying, well, we're just going to finance it through debt? Okay, because that's what everybody else is doing to pay for houses. It's just this spiral.
Yeah, so what don't we understand when I'm a voter and I'm looking at a long list of promises, mm-hmm. and I know that, as always, some of them will be fulfilled and others simply won't. What should I be looking for in these plans to let me know that, like, okay, this might mm-hmm. happen and actually put money in my pocket?
If you can get past the identity politics, I think, more than anything, because what have we heard this time? Well, this party isn't offering me as much as the other, but I don't like that guy, so I'm going to vote for this person. And it doesn't have as much to do with policy, interestingly.
Yeah.
Yet, maybe. And we have seen the polls switch, okay? They have, you know, depending on each and every oddball scandal that's come along, it has adjusted to some extent. So I think, again, this is in the days leading up to it, you know, people are going to see the headlines, and this is all going to come back to advertising. You know, we're offering you X number of dollars for mm-hmm. this, and this. You know, I think from the Liberal side, the Trudeau government, you know, brought in the Canada Child Benefit, which they are, you know, saying brought a lot of kids out of poverty, and that has been borne out by the statistics, and they're going to advance that. Again, so you're going to hear more about that. I don't know if people can get their head necessarily around the pharmacare issue because it's still under this whole consultation phase. And certain items, it's like, okay, who's going to cut me a check? Sometimes right. It comes back to that, right? And it's like, how much specific dollars are you going to give me to buy my vote? I mean, let's face it, that's what a lot of this has to do with.
Listen, we've been doing a project looking back at the Rob Ford years in Toronto. And there was a $65 vehicle registration tax,
mm-hmm.
and he promised to cut that, and people voted for it because $65 was like real money
yeah.
that you could see. It was a one-line item thing that you could see, like, I was paying this, now I'm not, thanks.
Yeah, it's remarkable how it's sometimes the smaller items as opposed to the big-ticket, multi-billion-dollar projects.
Even if it's
that get people
in your
excited.
Own best interest, it's psychological that you feel like, I'm not going to have to pay this, therefore— this person is doing something for me.
Well, is it in your own best interest or in the best interest, the collective good?
Yeah.
Right? We are.
Collectively, we probably should have a vehicle registration
sure.
tax.
Sure. But at the end of the day, how is it affecting me?
Right.
This guy. And people are very much, you know.
People feel the same way about the carbon tax.
It's the same way that they don't necessarily, you know, people don't want to talk politics because it's now we're in an amplified social media sphere where if you say the wrong thing, you're going to get, hit on all sides. And so you bring it insular.
Mm-hmm.
What's in it for me? And I'm not necessarily going to say anything, but I'm looking out for number one. And
right.
it's completely self-serving, but maybe that's always been the way with politics.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to say which party is better at anything, but when you were looking through your notes, mm-hmm. what stood out?
I think the Conservatives are much more aggressive on, and that this has been their whole campaign for the most part about, you know, helping you get ahead. That's their banner, right? So they're actually giving dollar amounts, you know, and the tax credits are certainly out there. They're, you know, talking about cutting for a couple taxes on average about $800, which is a little bit more than the Liberals. But the Liberals previously did that, or so they claim. You know, when you're talking about, I think it comes down to more tax, whatever threshold you're at. I think, mm-hmm. you know, the Liberal government has skewed more to lower income. And I think the PCs are looking at more across the board. The NDP and the Greens certainly aren't talking about tax breaks. They're talking about more expanded social programs. And, you know, if you're talking about universal daycare, that's going to resonate. Absolutely. Although they're not talking about it, I suppose, as vociferously as I thought they might. I think just because of the cost,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's going to take – they can't just say, we're going to do this next year. Yeah, that's probably not realistic. I mean, the Greens are talking about balancing the books. So, I mean, that in and of itself, you know, that's going to take a lot of finagling to get the idea of these big ticket projects underway to do that. And others, you know, they just figure, well, we'll finance it with debt. But I think the the idea of a transit tax credit, for example, you know, because why are we being sort of taxed on something that we want people to use? That,
right.
You know, that's because part of the whole cost of living thing has been the fact that people in the suburbs suburbs have to drive to where they have to go to work. They're not working near where they live, so they're stuck in traffic. Transit isn't necessarily an option. And all of this, again, makes you angry that you can't get ahead because it's costing you too much sitting in traffic paying exorbitant interest insurance costs. Trying to get to work,
yeah,
and it's this spiral. And we talk about the environment, and we want to get people out of their cars, but there's not enough of an alternative at this point to do that because the transit system is jammed. And then you know, from a project standpoint, you know, you hear about infrastructure, great, okay, that takes years.
Yeah.
So to throw out this idea that you know, all of these things are as soon as the election happens and the first budget, you know, are going to take place, it's a long-term project. So, I mean, they talk about, like you say, the smaller numbers. Oh, okay, that sounds good. You know, I can, you know, $800 for a couple? Okay, we'll go with that. Easy, right? It's simple.
You can budget around it.
To some extent.
Whether or not it's true.
Right,
You can budget around it in your head.
You just feel better, I guess, for lack of a better description.
It's psychological.
That's right.
And this isn't something that I came into this conversation thinking we would talk about, but I'm really interested in the idea of, as a business reporter, you look at the bottom lines of mm-hmm. a lot of these things, but you've come back to a couple times the difference between a line item that's a cut from something or that's a canceled fee mm-hmm. versus the benefit that you would get from a social program like mm-hmm. PharmaCare or childcare. How do we convince people, or maybe not even convince them, but how do we explain to people that bottom line is different from this bottom line because you just can't see it as well? Like people who are in it for themselves,
right?
Those programs still might benefit them more.
Well, it's the same thing as offering free post-secondary education. I think at the, you know, the basic level of that, you go, okay, that's a great idea. But even at that, you kind of go, well, can we afford that as a nation? Because they keep talking about the fact that we've still got these deficits and debts. So it's such a big number because it'll cost billions, and maybe that's the issue. Maybe people can't kind of see that. They can see it, I suppose, long-term esoterically and say, oh, that's a good idea, but is that necessarily what I'm going to vote for right now? Or can we wait? Or, you know, maybe – and it also depends where you are. And if you've got kids at that level, sure, it affects you.
Yeah, do that tomorrow.
Right,
I would
exactly.
like them to do that
and
tomorrow.
And same thing with daycare, right? You know, but after that – 4 or 5 years, then you're out of that, and then you're kind of back to, okay, now we're spending too much.
Yeah.
Right? It's each of those is a very small kind of age demographic that you're looking at. It's not an entire lifespan something that you think about.
Mm-hmm.
It depends where you are specifically, either raising kids or getting them through the education system. So that's why I think some of these more day-to-day items resonate a little better. Because it doesn't have the widespread, you know, electorate appeal. Because, again, it's like, oh, that's great. Somebody else is paying for your education. Well, there was nobody there to pay for my kid's education, so why am I going to do it?
Right.
Right? So that's another thing. It's never been done, and, again, sort of this.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't get it, so why should you?
That's not a great way to go around building
not.
A country.
It's not. You're absolutely right. It's not. But it's sort of, again, the way that – politics has always worked in a weird way. It's never been it's you need the leadership to inspire.
Yeah.
And are we getting that? I don't know. The polls would indicate not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the unfavorable ratings of any of the four main leaders, not very good. Or they're very high from an unfavorable standpoint, let alone you know, someone you want to go to bat for.
Yeah.
And support. It's almost this
I believe Jagmeet Singh is the only one with a positive favorability right
now. So when you're under that circumstance, you aren't rallying people behind a cause. It's more voting against something as opposed to voting for.
Or rallying them around their own pocketbook.
More or less, yeah. Yeah, it's you're kind of making me depressed right now.
That's what we do on this podcast.
It's not the most favorable thing, but unfortunately that's sort of the election cycle we're in right now.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Happy voting.
Mike Apple, Senior Business Editor at 680 News and at City News.
That was the big story. For more from us, including a new podcast hosted by myself, you can head to frequencypodcastnetwork.com or thegravytrainpodcast.com. If you remember Toronto's crack mayor, well, we have that story. You can also catch us and all our other podcasts wherever you get them, on Apple, on Google, on Stitcher, on Spotify. And if you want to talk to us, we are on Twitter, as always, @TheBigStoryFPN. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.